As Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." As they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, realizing that he had been healed, returned, glorifying the God in a loud voice. And he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God?" Then he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning. This morning we have some wonderful readings to look at, and one of the ways that I love to read the scriptures is to look at ways that you can place yourself into the reading and pretend that you are one of those characters and what's happening in the reading, and when you do that, you can get some interesting insights. Before I get into it, I want to just give you a little bit of a background to leprosy. Leprosy is mentioned all the way back in the Old Testament, and there's even 2 full whole chapters in the Old Testament about leprosy and what to do with someone with leprosy. For example, a person who had leprosy was not allowed to approach somebody. They had to stay within 50 meters of the person. And they had to yell, "Unclean, unclean," basically referring to themselves as being unclean and dangerous if you approach them. They knew that leprosy could be contagious. And so they oftentimes were outside of the cities. If they could find another person who had leprosy, they maybe form a community. But it was very lonely. It was very isolating. Once you got leprosy, you were cast out. You were an outsider. Oftentimes there were stigmas applied to you that somehow maybe you had done something to offend God. You weren't allowed to pray with the people because you were unclean. And so they weren't allowed in the synagogues. They weren't allowed in the temple. So it was a very sad life. And if that weren't enough, there were all sorts of problems that happened when you had leprosy. Your nerves were usually affected. And it was common for a leper's hands to kind of tighten up. And so their hands, to many people, resembled a claw because they couldn't straighten their fingers. There was pain associated with the leprosy and physical disfigurement. Lumps on the skin, body parts that would begin to decay and even fall off. And so being a leper had that stigma with it as well. It was a terrible, terrible disease. And today there is a cure for leprosy. The World Health Organization offers free treatment to anyone who has leprosy. Basically, it's a 6-month to a year on antibiotics. And there is a cure, but there still are people with leprosy. In the last 20 years, there were 16 million cases of leprosy that were cured, mostly in Africa, but also in the U.S. It happens mostly in South California. But in the time of Jesus, they didn't have these antibiotics, and so once you had leprosy, it was basically a kind of slow and painful death. They didn't have the cures for it. And to make it even worse, sometimes you had symptoms that resembled leprosy, and people might think you were a leper even if you weren't. For example, psoriasis. If you had some kind of skin dysfunction, people might see it and think you were a leper even if you weren't, and they might treat you as such. And so in the Old Testament, you know, if somebody like that was accused of leprosy, once the condition cleared to show that they were now clean and healed, they would show themselves to the priest. And so it's actually laid out that the person isn't allowed to come back into the community until the priest has observed them and declared them to be clean. And so we can see that in this gospel passage, there's these 10 lepers. They have formed their own community because the only other option is for them to be completely alone. And we even see a Samaritan. Supposedly, the other 9 were Jewish. And so Jesus kind of gives the complaint, we're not all 10 healed, only this foreigner came back to give thanks. And so the assumption is that the other 9 were Jewish. And so it even shows, and the Jews and the Samaritans were great enemies, yet here they are congregating together because of this leprosy. And so the early church fathers saw in this gospel passage the fact that the good news of Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the chosen one, the Savior, has come not only for the Jewish people, but for all the nations. And we hear that theme reflected in the responsorial psalm that says, the Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power. And so when I make this reflection, I imagine myself that I am that foreigner because my heritage is German. I'm not from a Jewish heritage. And yet Jesus invites me to be in a relationship with him through his church, starting with baptism and then going through the sacraments. And so probably most of us here are not of Jewish descent. And so you are those nations that the Lord has been revealed to you, and that you too are called to come back and give thanks. And what is the kind of thanks that God wants? He wants right worship. He wants contrite hearts. He wants us to be humble. He wants us to worship him and to live holy and virtuous lives. And we see that in the first reading. We got the very end of a great story. By the time we started the reading from the lectionary, Naaman has dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan River, and he has come up healed. Now I'm going to give you a little bit of the backdrop. Naaman was a great military leader. He was esteemed by all, and he was a Gentile. He wasn't Jewish. And he was from the land of Aram, and his king knew that he had leprosy, and they wanted to know, what can we do for this poor man? He has won so many victories for the kingdom. And so Naaman, this great leader, military leader, had a servant girl who was Jewish. And so she said, hey, back in Israel, there's a prophet, and I know that he could heal you. So she says, if you go see him, he'll heal you. So Naaman goes to his king, and the king writes him a letter and gives him a treasure trove. You know, lots and lots of silver. It says 6,000 pieces of gold, as well as festal garments. All of this treasure the king gives Naaman, and he writes a letter to the king of Israel. And he says, I send to you my servant Naaman. I want you to heal him. So this guy shows up at the doorstep of the king of Israel, and the king of Israel, when he reads the letter, he tears his garments, and he's afraid because Aram has a much larger army than Israel, and he thinks that he's provoking a fight. He says to everyone, he says, who am I? Am I a god that I have power over life and death to cure this man of leprosy? And beautifully tied with this reading, we see Jesus healing leprosy, which if you had true leprosy at the time of Jesus, they didn't have a cure. Yes, Jesus is God. And yes, we see him right from the beginning of his ministry going out and healing and cleansing lepers, even kissing them and curing them. And so he tears his garments and he says the Aram is trying to provoke a fight with him. But Elisha the prophet gets word of this. And he sends to the king, he says, why did you tear your garments? You should send him to me that he may see that there is a God in Israel. And so Elisha is stepping forward saying, the Lord is going to do something wonderful here. So he sends Naaman to Elisha the prophet, and this is where it gets interesting. So he shows up to Elisha's house, and Elisha won't even come outside to see him. So I think it's a wonderful image to show how easy it is for God to heal someone. How easy it is for God to heal someone. Elisha didn't come out because he was being rude. Elisha didn't come out because he didn't want to catch leprosy. He was showing how easy it was for God to heal. Because in all the other religions, their priests would wave their hands and they would have long, long prayers and they would do all these different rituals and stuff like that. But Elisha just simply had a messenger go to Naaman and say, go dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. And so Naaman was offended. He said, I thought Elisha would come out and wave his hands over me and do some great long ritual, but he won't even come out and talk to me. And so he gets upset, and he turns around and heads home. And he's not going to be obedient. He's not going to do it. But the servants of Naaman, they argue with him, and they say, look, if Elisha had told you to do something really difficult, some heroic deed, you would have done it. But now he's asking you to do something small. And so Naaman had been arguing that back in his own land, in Damascus and other lands, they have pristine, clear mountain water. You know, absolutely clean and clear. But the Jordan River, has anybody ever been there? It's muddy and very dirty. When I went there, I was very surprised because I was expecting a really big river, but it's more or less a large creek, and it's very muddy. And so Naaman had been arguing, this river is so dirty, we have much better rivers I could wash in my own town. And so he's been arguing, but finally the servants prevail on him. Had he asked you to do something very difficult, you would have done it. But now he's asking you to do something very simple. By the way, when the priest gives you a penance, you should never say, hey, that penance was too easy, give me something more difficult. I hope you've never done that before. I've actually heard that before. Somebody told me, hey, that penance is too easy, give me something more. And I think the danger with that is for people to think that they've earned God's forgiveness because of the penance. God's forgiveness for your sins comes not because of what you do, but because of what God does for us. He offers us his mercy and forgiveness. It's not because we are so good that we deserve the forgiveness. It's because God is so good. And so he gives us that forgiveness. And so it made me think of that when he said, you know, this is too easy. I'm not going to do that. Give me something more difficult to do. And so he goes and he dips himself into the Jordan River 7 times, which we should be thinking maybe 7 sacraments. A foreshadowing there maybe of our baptism. And he comes out and his skin is like that of a little boy, a young child. So he's completely healed. And he goes back to Elisha's home and he brings with him all the silver, the 6,000 pieces of gold, and all the festal garments, and he offers them to the prophet Elisha. And the prophet Elisha says, I don't want any of that. And he refuses to take the money, all the value. And so finally, after he couldn't get anywhere, Naaman finally said, well, give me 2 mules full of dirt from this land, because I will no longer worship our gods. I am only going to worship the God of Israel from now on. And I think that's beautiful, too, because our true worship isn't in giving money. Sometimes people think, you know, all the church wants is our money. But what God wants is our worship. And we see that in the 10 lepers that Jesus heals. The one comes back and he worships Jesus. He falls at his feet and praises him. And so this is the true thing that God wants from us, is a humble, contrite spirit and true worship offered to him. And so the early church fathers, they saw in these readings some beautiful reflections for ourselves. One is the early church fathers saw leprosy as a symbol of sin, because sin disfigures our true identity. Where our true identity is, we are made in God's image and likeness, and God is love. And when we choose to sin, it defigures us. And it separates us. It separates us from one another. And we turn away from God when we sin. And so sin does the same kind of things in a spiritual way that leprosy does. So oftentimes leprosy is a kind of figure for sin. And so in that case, guess what, brothers and sisters? We are all spiritually lepers. And so we can place ourselves now into these readings and say, you know, I'm one of those 10 lepers that Jesus says, go and show yourself to the priest. Now, what happens in the Catholic Church when you have sin? You go and show yourself to the priest so that the priest can hear your confession. And if you are contrite and are willing to amend your life, the priest declares you to be clean by giving you the absolution. And so all of us have the good news of knowing that God loves us, that Jesus wants to heal us of our spiritual leprosy. Now, what are we going to do in return? Do we take God for granted? Do we use him whenever we need him and then go away and not come back and give thanks and not come back and give true worship as we see this one leper who was the foreigner did? And as we see Naaman, who after he was washed and Elisha wouldn't accept his riches, but he would give him the soil so that he can worship God. That's the thanks that God really wants, is our true worship. Yes, the riches, the other things come later, but the most important thing is our worship. And so in Naaman, we can place ourselves in there. That is a prefigurement of baptism that washes away the leprosy of sin. And we, when we come out of baptism, we are like that newborn baby with a soft and fresh and brand new skin. And so our sins are washed away. And so we too should be enormously grateful, just as Naaman was, to be healed and have this desire to be grateful to God. Why is it important for us to be grateful? Because great gratitude is the antidote to self-centeredness. If we are not grateful people, we can become very self-centered. And gratitude leads us into charity, into helping others. When we ourselves see that God has been merciful to us, that God has been good to us, it makes it that much more easy. And we even begin to desire to do the same, to offer charity to others in our lives. And so as we think about and hear these readings today, we think of ourselves and all that God has given to us and how grateful we must be in giving God praise and good worship. Amen.